Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. As I was praying about what the Lord would have me share for the next few days, He gave me the subject of coming into maturity. This is something that is very strong on the heart of God, as we find out in Scripture. And I'd like to share with you, I would trust, a familiar passage before we get into the message, found in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till there's a purpose in this, why fivefold ministry was given, till we all come into the unity of the faith, that's the first thing, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, secondly, and thirdly, with that knowledge, being unified, being in the understanding and knowledge of who Jesus is, what He came to do, and then finally, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is God's intention for us. This is His plan. It's never changed. These were the final words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And this is what He desires for us. So we're going to talk about what that means. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What is that saying? Well, that basically, if we want to be a disciple of the Lord, wholeheartedly surrendered and serving Him, there is something that has to take place. Not a pleasant thing. He says, take up His cross, our cross, whatever it may be. And that requires difficulty. That requires a submission to the authority of the Lord. It's not easy. Crucifixion was one of the most horrible punishments that mankind has devised, and one the Romans used for capital punishment. But with that denying of oneself, there is a pain endured, taking up the cross and following the path of Jesus. Praise God. He goes on in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And then there's a passage in Luke, chapter 14 and verse 26 and 27, I'll read. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." What an astounding statement. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So this not only talks about the surrendering to the Lord, taking up your cross, taking up the difficulties that are a part of this life, but also that there's an obedience to that, and that it is the most important relationship in one's life. He's obviously not saying to hate your family, your blood relatives. Of course not. But by comparison, the love and devotion that we should have for the Lord would supersede all of that. I'd like to share another passage in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he hath made him, that's the Father, hath made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In order to be that unto the stature of Jesus Christ, as it talks about in Ephesians, unto a perfect man, which is why fivefold ministry is given, is there's a laying down of your life, there's a putting the Lord Jesus first, and there is a desire to be obedient and follow him in whatever way he directs. And he wants us, he's provided for us, to be the righteousness of God in Jesus. That's the Father's plan. In John, the Gospel, the first chapter, verses 12 and 13, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, not of the natural will or flesh, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This was God's intention, that he's given us the power to become. And just the very wording of that, there is the reality that there is power to become all that God wants us to be, but he gave us, will we respond and will we act on it? The Lord knows that as we will put him first, his presence, his who he is, he'll satisfy every desire of the human heart. We'll certainly experience that in its perfection and fullness when we're with the Lord in heaven. But also in this life, how many of us can say we've achieved that abundant life, that we are transcending any difficulty, any problem? No, there are hard times. Remember, at one point, Paul said he was despairing of life itself. We are all tested and tried. That is how our faith is perfected. So in spite of the trials, in spite of the battles, in spite of the difficulties, our faith is an anchor that we cannot be carried out to sea. We will be established and firm upon what God has promised us. Scripture says, beloved, that we are the sons and daughters of God. And by God's own statement, we are children of power and authority. We have rights, we have jurisdiction through the Lord Jesus. The Greek word used for sons in verse 12 is technon, meaning children, daughters, or sons. Praise God. So as we look at church history, some of the most defeating historical teachings that God's people have been exposed to is that we're just poor, miserable sinners, unworthy hardly to approach unto God. We're sinners, and we have to be very much aware of that and present our petitions to God in the hope that he'll have mercy on us and hear us. And we sort of grovel face down in the dirt before the Lord. But Scripture tells us instead that we are sons and daughters of God, that we're not snakes to grovel in the dirt. That is the position, beloved, that God gave to the serpent, the devil, not the children of God. In Genesis, the third chapter, verse 14, the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this," he deceived Eve, and Adam was beguiled by what Eve had to say. They both fell. They both sinned against God. He goes on to say, "Thou art cursed above all cattle," speaking to the serpent, "and above every beast of the fields. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And the devil, he's a master of deception. What's the purpose of the devil? He's come to lie, deceive, and kill. That's his plan. And he has beguiled believers in so many places and in all times through wrong teaching. But beloved, by the scriptures I've just shared with you today, if we had none else, God is telling us that the position God has given to us, to the church is one of power and authority, and the devil is to flee at the name of Jesus. He is to respond the delegated authority that has been given to us. If we act on that, he will respond. And so, beloved, God is desiring, yeah, he's even requiring that his church, the body of Christ, begin to manifest their faith in God's word and his promises. God's kind of faith is twofold. First of all, it's faith in his word completely. God is not a man that he can lie. We need to know that what he says is true, and all of his promises are true, and in all that he commands us to do. And then secondly, this is something we need to think about. We need to begin to have faith in the faith that God has given to us. And you might just stop for a minute and think about that. We have been given faith. That's what it says in Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2. This is Paul speaking. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to man a measure, to every man the measure of faith. Praise God. So in other words, we're to begin to have that faith in the faith that God has given us. It is his gift. We have to trust that we have been provided the faith that we need to walk in, to overcome, to be not vainly puffed up or egotistical, but we're to have faith in what God has given to us. Praise God. This is our inheritance as the children of God. Well, my time has flown, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I thank you for joining me, and the announcer is going to share our mailing address, our contact information. So if you have prayer needs, I encourage you to write and share those needs. I will respond, pray personally for you, and send back whatever the Lord would give for your blessing. Thank you for joining me. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,